What actually is the File of Galadriel? It was clearly filled with holy light and was pretty powerful, but what was it? Was it one of a kind? Could it run out of power? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and other great fantasy books and TV shows in nerdy detail. Welcome. Of all the gifts Galadriel gave the Fellowship, the File of Galadriel proved perhaps the most obviously useful. It saved Frodo and Sam's life on several occasions, even more in the books than we saw in the films. And as a warning, I'll probably go on quite a long digression in a bit here on the nature of light and hope and some narrative threads that run all the way through Tolkien's work, from the early pages of the Silmarillion to the dawn of the Fourth Age, before wheeling back around to what this implies about the file itself, because Tolkien packed a lot of themes and symbolism in there. But let's start with how Frodo and Sam used the file once they had it. The first time was actually outside Mordor. The Witch King emerged at the head of his army, then paused, looking this way and that, as if sensing the closeness of the ring. We read this. Frodo waited, like a bird at the approach of a snake, unable to move. And as he waited, he felt more urgent than ever before, the command that he should put on the ring. Then his own will stirred. Slowly, it forced the hand back and set it to find another thing. A thing lying hidden near his breast, cold and hard, it seemed, as his grip closed on it. The File of Galadriel, so long treasured and almost forgotten till that hour. As he touched it, for a while all thought of the ring was banished from his mind. He sighed and bent his head. At that moment, the Wraith King turned and spurred his horse and rode across the bridge, and all his dark host followed him. So just touching the file seemed to banish thoughts of putting on the ring from Frodo's mind temporarily, and caused the Witch King to stop his searching for it there and carry on. Frodo grabbed it again and pressed it to his heart when they moved on from outside Minas Morgul, seemingly to give himself courage to keep going. Clearly it wasn't just a torch or flashlight, it had more heartening or moral powers too. Then Frodo used it in the deep dark of Shelob's lair. We read, slowly his hand went to his bosom, and slowly he held aloft the File of Galadriel. For a moment it glimmered, faint as a rising star struggling in heavy earthward mists, and then, as its power waxed and hope grew in Frodo's mind, it began to burn and kindled to a silver flame, a minute heart of dazzling light, as though Eärendil had himself come down from the high sunset paths with the last Silmaril on his brow. The darkness receded from it until it seemed to shine in the center of a globe of airy crystal, and the hand that held it sparkled with white fire. Frodo gazed in wonder at this marvelous gift that he had so long carried, not guessing its full worth and potency. Just a page later, Shelob herself appeared, and the hobbits saw a bit of the file's full worth and potency. Shelob's eyes wavered. Doubt came into them as the light approached. One by one, they dimmed, and slowly they drew back. No brightness so deadly had ever afflicted them before. From sun and moon and star, they had been safe underground, but now a star had descended into the very earth. Still, it approached, and the eyes began to quail. One by one, they all went dark. They turned away, and a great bulk, beyond the light's reach, heaved its huge shadow in between. They were gone. So the file was enough to make Shelob turn back. Still, the hobbits weren't through danger, and Shelob attacked again once Frodo was immobilized. This time, Sam had control of the file. Even as Sam himself crouched, looking at her, seeing his death in her eyes, a thought came to him, as if some remote voice had spoken, and he fumbled in his breast with his left hand and found what he sought. Cold and hard and solid it seemed to his touch in a phantom world of horror. The File of Galadriel. Galadriel, he said faintly, and with that he staggered to his feet and was Samwise the Hobbit, Hamfast's son, again. "Now come, you filth," he cried. "You've hurt my master, you brute, and you'll pay for it. We're going on, but we'll settle with you first. Come on and taste it again." As if his indomitable spirit had set its potency in motion, the glass blazed suddenly like a white torch in his hand. It flamed like a star that, leaping from the firmament, sears the dark air with intolerable light. No such terror out of heaven had ever burned in Shelob's face before. The beams of it entered into her wounded head and scored it with unbearable pain, and the dreadful infection of light spread from eye to eye. She fell back, beating the air with her forelegs, her sight blasted by inner lightnings, her mind in agony. Then, turning her maimed head away, she rolled aside and began to crawl, claw by claw, towards the opening in the dark cliff behind. Sam came on. He was reeling like a drunken man, but he came on, and Shelob cowed at last, shrunken in defeat, jerked and quivered as she tried to hasten from him. This was probably the file's greatest moment, and one of Sam's. He went on to decide to take the ring on himself, believing Frodo dead. Frodo wasn't, of course, and Sam rescued him and gave the ring back to him. He kept the file, though, and used it straight away to get past the two watchers, those sentinels with trapped unclean spirits guarding the entrance to Cirith Ungol. Sam drew out the elven glass of Galadriel again, we read, as if to do honour to his hardihood and to grace with splendour his faithful brown hobbit hand that had done such deeds. The file blazed forth suddenly, so that all the shadowy court was lit with a dazzling radiance like lightning. But it remained steady and did not pass. Gilthoniel, Elbereth, Sam cried. For why, he did not know. His thoughts sprang back suddenly to the elves in the Shire, and the song that drove away the black rider in the trees. Aya Elenion Ankalima, cried Frodo once again behind him. The will of the watchers was broken with a suddenness like the snapping of a cord, and Frodo and Sam stumbled forward. Then they ran. They passed into Mordor. So what do we make of all this? Clearly the file wasn't just a bright light to blind opponents, it gave hope to Frodo, helping him resist the Witch King, and burned the eyes of Shelob while forcing access past the two watchers, as well as being a light in dark places. There are clearly levels to this. So what was going on? Well, let's go back to what Galadriel actually said when she gave it to Frodo. "And you, Ringbearer," he said, turning to Frodo, "I come to you last, who are not last in my thoughts. For you, I have prepared this." She held up a small crystal phial. It glittered as she moved it, and rays of white light sprang from her hand. "In this phial," she said, "is caught the light of Earendil's star, set amid the waters of my fountain. It will shine still brighter when night is about you. May it be a light to you in dark places, when all other lights go out. Remember Galadriel and her mirror." Frodo took the phial, and for a moment, as it shone between them, he saw her again standing like a queen, great and beautiful, but no longer terrible. He bowed, but found no words to say. As is often the case with Tolkien, there are multiple levels going on here, but let's start with the basic one. This is holy light trapped in holy water, contained in a small glass bottle. That is why it can shine in dark places and is blinding to evil creatures like Shelob. And let's look at the water. Galadriel says that the water comes from the waters of her fountain, which sits in the heart of Lothlórien. It's the same waters that are used for the mirror of Galadriel. As we noted when talking about that, fresh running water is generally seen as pure and uncorrupted in Tolkien's legendarium. This water in particular has special healing and recuperative powers. But it's the light trapped within it that makes it so special. And to understand that, let's go back into the mists of Middle-earth time, before the sun existed, which is where that digression I mentioned earlier comes in. Light in Middle-earth early on was provided a bit by the stars, but also by the two trees of Valinor. Their light was a holy, nourishing light. Those who lived in its glow grew stronger and purer, almost, compared to those who didn't. It was so important that it even formed the basis for one of the most fundamental divisions between different types of elves. The Kalaquendi, light elves or high elves, who had seen the light of the two trees, and Moriquendi, dark elves, those who hadn't. Yes, to Tolkien, being a dark elf wasn't about skin tone or moral alignment or culture. It was simply a matter of whether you'd experienced that light. The greatest feat by the greatest and most powerful elven smith ever, Feanor, was to somehow capture that light in three gems, the Silmarils, artifacts so holy that they burned the hand of anyone unclean holding them, and so astonishing that families, kingdoms, and a whole continent were torn apart trying to get possession of them because of that light. And the light in those three Silmarils became all the rarer and more astonishing with the destruction of the two trees by Morgoth and Ungoliant. Now the only remaining glimpse of that light was in those three Silmarils, and at the risk of skipping lightly over the entire First Age, two of them were lost forever, one in the depths of the sea and the other in the depths of the earth. The third, however, was bound upon the brow of Erendil as he sailed his ship Vingolot through the night sky. The free people of Middle-earth called it Gil-Estel, the Star of High Hope, for it initially brought them hopes that Erendil's mission had been a success and the Valar would rescue them from Morgoth. And it continued to give them hope through time, guiding the Edain to their new home of Numenor and aiding travellers everywhere, the morning and evening star, brighter than all the others. It is the light of that star that Galadriel captures in her file. It isn't just a bright light, it's the last remnant of the holy, nourishing light of Valinor, which is why it can be bright even when all other lights go out. But again, there are layers to this, because what Galadriel did there was an echo of what Feanor had done all that time ago, capturing light in a way that can be taken elsewhere. It's a magical crafting beyond the skills of almost anyone else, but whereas Feanor's creation brought division and despair, Galadriel's brought hope. She redeemed what her cousin had done all those years ago. The relationship between those two, Feanor and Galadriel, is a complex one and beyond the scope of this video, but Tolkien knew what he was doing in making her the creator of such an artifact. And then you get the other irony, or turning of fate, in that this light came originally from the two trees of Valinor, which were destroyed by Ungoliant. And now, thousands of years later, the last reflected fragment of that light defeated Shelob, Ungoliant's daughter. Ungoliant's unlight could not ever truly destroy the true light. Light in general, and this light in particular, is a massive theme through Tolkien's Legendarium, and here we catch the purest thread. The two trees of Valinor were destroyed by the unlight of Ungoliant, plunging the world into darkness. The last part of that holy light was preserved in the Silmarils, and the last Silmaril ended up in the night sky. The light from that was captured in the reflection of Galadriel's waters and used by Frodo and Sam to defeat Shelob, Ungoliant's daughter. It all comes full circle. But why did Galadriel exhort Frodo to remember Galadriel and her mirror? As we noted in that video, Frodo and Sam's time with the mirror wasn't actually about giving them useful information about what they were about to face, so much as testing them. Sam was given a vision of what was going on in the Shire and decided to go on anyway. Frodo saw the horror of the Eye of Sauron and similarly steeled himself to keep going, and Galadriel resisted the lure of the ring itself. What would remembering the mirror have done? It would remind them of their decision to keep going, because there was a chance to succeed, to make the world a better place, because using the file would rekindle hope. That word again. The light of the file of Galadriel does fade twice in this story. The first time, Sam tries to use it as he enters the cracks of doom, following Frodo at a distance. Sam came to the gaping mouth and peered in. It was dark and hot, and a deep rumbling shook the air. "Frodo? Master?" he called. There was no answer. For a moment he stood, his heart beating with wild fears, and then he plunged in. A shadow followed him. At first he could see nothing. In his great need he drew out once more the phial of Galadriel, but it was pale and cold in his trembling hand, and threw no light into that stifling dark. He was come to the heart of the realm of Sauron, and the forges of his ancient might, the greatest in Middle-earth. All other powers were here subdued. Fearfully, He took a few uncertain steps into the dark. This is a troubling moment, because by implication here at the very end, even hope itself could not pierce that gloom. It is the heart of Sauron's power, and even Frodo's resolve fails and he puts on the ring. It is to Sam's credit that he still steps forward, despite everything. Great heart indeed. But, and you could write a dozen essays on Tolkien's theology here, this is when providence, or Eru, or eucatastrophe, to use Tolkien's own word, steps in. The unexpected, joyous turn of events beyond all human hope. That moment could not have been what it was if Sam had entered with any hope at all. The second time the file fades is right at the end of the story, as Frodo heads into the west. Then Frodo kissed Merry and Pippin, and last of all Sam, and went aboard. And the sails were drawn up, and the wind blew, and slowly the ship slipped away down the long grey firth, and the light of the glass of Galadriel that Frodo bore glimmered and was lost. That was the last Sam and the other hobbits saw of Frodo, until Sam followed him many, many years later. And it seems that their last sight was not of Frodo himself or the ship, but the light from the file of Galadriel. Perhaps Frodo was holding it up so that they could get that last glimpse. We don't know. But the light and hope was returning home to the Undying Lands. Or not hope, that remained, because the light itself was the light of the star of Erendil, the evening star, the star known as Estel, hope. Tolkien left us and the hobbits that in Middle-earth. We just need to look up into the night sky, and it is there. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen now. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.